The book of Philemon is probably one that is not at the top of your mind. I think this evening I desire to share some background about what was going on when this letter was written from the Apostle Paul to a man named Philemon. I'll tell you the story and then we'll read the letter. How about that? So Philemon was a very wealthy man who had a large estate and probably had many servants. And he lived in Colossae, and he ran across, through God's providence, the Apostle Paul, who preached the gospel to him. Philemon was saved, and in this letter, we get the idea that Philemon was a big help to the saints everywhere, that he sent support to those that needed it. And the Apostle Paul really counted upon him as a faithful partner in the gospel. Not very long after this, Philemon's slave, one of his servants named Onesimus, ran away. He stole some money, most likely, from Philemon, and he fled to Rome. And he tried to make a life for himself, most likely. We don't know a lot of the background of the story. But he also ran into the Apostle Paul. And he also was saved by the grace of God. And he began serving the Apostle Paul when he was in prison. And we're going to read some about that in this letter. And he was a tremendous support to the Apostle Paul, this Onesimus was. And he cherished his friendship. But no doubt, he learned about the fact that Onesimus had ran away from Philemon's household and become a fugitive slave. And he told him that he had to go back. And he had to face Philemon. And he had to get things right with him. So he sent Onesimus back to Philemon. And Onesimus would have had to have had a great deal of courage to go back and face his master, because he had most likely taken from him and had fled from him, broken the law, was worthy of a punishment of beatings up to death. And Paul said, you got to face it. You got to go back to him. And Paul wrote a letter, and he sealed the letter, and he had enough confidence in Onesimus that he sent the letter with him when he went back to see Philemon. We spoke in Sunday school this morning. I don't know if Onesimus knew what was in the letter, but he was to deliver it to Philemon when he got there. And this is what was in it. So I'm going to read it to you, and I've got one scripture I want us to consider this evening for a text. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apipha, and some think this was his wife, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. And what he meant by that was in this day, they didn't have church buildings like we do. They would meet in people's homes. And so he was addressing those that were there in Colossae in this church, in their home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. That the communication, and that word communication means the benevolent sharing that Philemon did. That word communication is one English word that's changed a lot over the years. But he meant, so the sharing of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. And that was a saying. And that saying means that their hearts were blessed, were refreshed by this brother and the great help that he had been to them. And again, they don't know what exactly he did to support them, but most likely he gave of his financial substance and certainly his prayers. Wherefore, he says, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee or require of thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and not now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now, just a moment. He said, I could have, as an apostle, gave a command. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to just beg you that you would consider the case of my child. That word begotten means that he gave birth to him. And of course, the Apostle Paul wasn't his natural father. He's speaking about him being a spiritual son. In other words, that he's come to love Onesimus because he saw him to be born again. And he was like a spiritual son to him. There was an affection there. And he said, I beg you for my son, Onesimus, whom I've begotten in my bonds, or while here in prison. He says, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, or receive him as you receive my very heart. I have such an affection for him. I want you to know that his coming is like me sending you my heart. Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing. In other words, without you consenting to it, I couldn't have done this. I couldn't have kept him here. That thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, or that you were compelled to do it, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that you should receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. And what he said there was, I'll not even need to mention how that you owe me your very life. And this might be a little more bold than what we would say, but he's saying, I brought to you the most precious thing that there was. I brought to you the gospel. And you have a debt to me for doing that. And I'm not going to say you have to repay me with this, but he did want to just mention that he had been a servant to him, and that he may show some gratitude for that. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. And we would say, my heart. Make my heart to be refreshed in the Lord by receiving my request and honoring it. Having confidence in thy obedience, or that you'll do what I've asked you to do, I wrote this unto you, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. And some people feel like that he was implying that maybe he would set him free or emancipate him. But we don't know. But he's saying that you'll probably go even further than I've asked you to even go. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I will be given unto you. In other words, he'll be able to come to him again, make a guest room for him. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Written from Rome to Philemon by way of Onesimus, a servant. So it was Paul that wrote it, but it was Timothy that penned down up until he said he wrote that with his own hand. And then it was Onesimus that delivered the letter. What a wonderful story, isn't it? It really makes you see the relationships that were between the people in the first century as it pertained to the gospel. What I want to speak about this evening, just for a moment, is really from verse 11, where he said, which in times past, he's speaking about Onesimus, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now he is profitable to thee and to me. So I want to speak just for a moment about being useful for the master. This story is an illustration of the radical change that takes place in our life due to the gospel. Onesimus's name means useful or profitable. And this was a common name for a slave. And I might say, before we go very far, that God doesn't condone forced servitude. I know that there'll be some that say, well, you know, he didn't give a command to Philemon. He didn't say, release all your servants. No, in fact, Paul oftentimes, he gave commands to servants. He told servants to obey their masters, not as a men pleaser, but for them to do their service unto their master as they would unto the Lord. And he gave command to masters to see their servants as men, to give them what was right and fair, to treat them justly, and to be good to them. But in terms of him, just Paul, And the gospel writers making a complete upheaval of the societal structure, they didn't do that. But God desires for men to be free. It was the very principles of this letter that were used as the foundation of the abolition movement. The love that Paul showed for Onesimus showed that Onesimus was in fact a man. And that he was a brother in the Lord. The only other time his name comes up is in Colossians, when he was sending them back. He said that he was sending them Onesimus, who is one of you. In other words, he's a brother in the Lord and should be received not as a second-class citizen, but he shall be received as a kinsman in the faith. So it was that principle that led to the abolition of slavery. And truly, wherever Christianity is followed throughout, there will be a reduction, if not a complete eradication, of slavery, because we don't have other men as our property. In the Lord, we are all on the same level. There are no classes with God. I believe that slavery is an abomination, and that even in Israel, in the Old Testament, people were allowed to go into slavery to satisfy a debt, but they were not allowed to remain slaves. In fact, after so many years, the debt was to be considered paid in full, and the only way they could remain a servant in the house is if they voluntarily chose to serve their master. That being aside, I want us to see how that God changes everything about us when he saves us, and completely changed Onesimus. His name means useful. And he says here, and this is kind of a play on words in verse 11, he said, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now is profitable to thee and to me. He became unprofitable by stealing from his master and fleeing as a fugitive slave to Rome. There's no doubt that there was wrath from Philemon. He was angry with Onesimus. And truly, Onesimus had done wrong by fleeing and stealing from his master. And if he was caught, his crime was deserving of, at the very least, a severe beating. And at the very most, the death penalty. Because he had violated the rules and the laws of the land. Now, it just so happens that while Onesimus is running, that he runs into Paul. And of course, you can see the way that God is bringing this all together. But God had mercy upon Onesimus and allowed for him to have a way to be saved. To me, this is an illustration when he says that he had at one time, even though he was useful as his name, he had become unprofitable to Philemon. I thought about our condition before God, our master. When we had known to do right and chosen to do wrong and had fled from everything that we had been taught was good and right and decided to go our own way, that we had truly become unprofitable to our master. In fact, in our lost condition, we couldn't please God. We couldn't do anything of service to God that was of benefit to him. The Bible says, as we quoted this morning, without faith, it's impossible to please him. That anything that we do without faith is sin. And so our condition, in our lost condition, every one of us was there. I think sometimes people come into our congregation and they think that, well, these people have always been followers of the Lord. We haven't been. In fact, there was a day that we were aliens and strangers of God. When we approached God, we knew that we had nothing to give him and that we were undeserving of anything that God could give us. And anything that we did was tainted by sin. Onesimus had become completely useless to Philemon. And that same way, in that same picture, we have become useless to God in our lost condition. But then he said that Onesimus was useful. He said he has become profitable to you and to me. Now, what had changed in his life? Only one thing. He had still stolen from Philemon. He had still ran off. He still was of no value to Philemon in his condition. But he said now he is profitable to us because something's happened to him. He's been saved by the grace of God. And his condition has changed. Whenever we got saved and we were born from above, our position changed before God. We were at one time useless, unprofitable, unable to make a difference in the world. Really just wasting the air in a way. We were just here for a while and then going to go back to the dust. But then God breathed life into us. And he changed us on the inside. God talks about our salvation, saying that he'll take out of us the heart of stone, and he'll put within us a heart of flesh, and he'll write his commandments upon our heart and upon our mind. And when he makes that kind of change in our life, he makes us then useful for the master. So we go from being useless, purposeless, to now having purpose because God has put his purposes into us. And that's what happened to him. And he said, I want you to know, Philemon, that Onesimus is useful to you now. He may not have been before. He may have been worthless. Yeah, he was not trustworthy, but now he is trustworthy. He may have been a thief. Now he's coming to fess up to it before you. His heart has changed. I want you to know that in prison, he helped me. This man was a great support to me. He was ministering to me when I was in my bonds. He's a great asset to you and to me and to the gospel. And the only thing that changed was Onesimus repented of his sins and he trusted in the Savior and God gave him his grace. And now all of a sudden he has a life that's worth living. And isn't that just exactly what happened to us whenever we got saved? We had nothing but sin to offer God. And then he pours into us grace. And he said, I just want you to be, you know, you're my servant and you're useful to me. Friend, God has a purpose for you. He wants you to serve him. And you are useful to the master if for no other reason than God has put his seal upon you. And he has told you that he wants you to be his child, that you are his child. And he said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You're useful. You're useful for the master, and you're useful to the saints. I know sometimes the devil whispers in our ears and said, what good do you really do? You just kind of fill a pew, you know, or preachers feel this way. You're just putting words in the air. They're just deflecting out there. Are you really doing anything? But he says, you're useful to me. God says, our master says that to us. You're useful to me. I've got a plan for you, and I want to use you. Now look what Paul says. He said, he's useful to you now, and he's useful to me. And look what he says in verse 16. He said, not as a slave. He says, not therefore as a servant, but above a servant. A brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. In other words, if I send him back, perhaps God had a plan, it said in the previous verse. Maybe God sent him to me for a little while so you could receive him back forever. Now, I thought that was an interesting statement because he said maybe this was all a part of God's plan, even though he didn't approve of the thief, he didn't approve of the stealing. He didn't approve of him running off, but he was using that to get him to me so I could share with him the gospel, so I could send him back to you and he could be with you how long? Forever. Not just for a little while down here, but now for eternity, he's going to be with you. You see, God had a bigger plan for him, and I want you to receive him like you'd receive me. And I want you to receive him as if you're receiving my very heart. Because I see in this man my son in the Lord. That's how I look at him. Not as a slave. I look at him as one that's very profitable to the Lord's service. And so that's a picture of us. Making us useful to God. Being restored to a position. You know, just to close out the thought. He was named useful. But proved to be unuseful. God restored him back to who he was supposed to be. And that's what happens to us when we get saved. God creates us lovingly. He gives us the gift of life. Makes us, creates us, knows everything about us, and loves us unconditionally. And then we break down everything that God had created us to be. In salvation, all of that is restored. Men are brought back to their created purpose through the cross. We were made to love God, to honor God in our life. We were created to enjoy God. And because of sin, all of that broke down. And we found ourselves aliens and strangers, helpless and hopeless. But glory be to God that day that God got a hold of our heart. Let us know our condition. And we got down upon our knees and we cried out to God and we said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He restores us back and gives us even better than where we were before. Changes our position, gives us the righteousness of Christ and says, now you're useful to me and you're useful to the saints. And I've got a work for you to do. There's more that could be said about Philemon, But I just wanted to say I'm thankful for how God gives us another chance. And I'm thankful that God has a work for us to do. And I'm thankful, just as this brother was brought back to a position of usefulness, that we too, as God's people, are transformed by the power of God, by the grace of God, to a place of service for Him. You know, every one of you, God has a special love for you. He cared about that. You know, I just think about the care that He had for that man. God loves us even more than Paul demonstrated his love for that Onesimus. God has a special love for us. And I think sometimes I said, I'm not even worthy to be a slave in the service of God. But He calls us a son or a daughter in the Lord and a joint heir with Christ. That's my thought for this evening. I pray God would bless each and every one of you. I'm thankful for the saving grace of God tonight. I'm thankful for the love that God shows us, and that He doesn't give up on us when we were certainly, we had that coming to us, didn't we? To have Him give up on us, but He didn't.